This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. You may have noticed a friend or coworker who used to smoke cigarettes now puffing an electronic cigarette, a small battery-operated device that looks sort of like a cigarette holder. E-cigarettes deliver a dose of nicotine at levels lower than the harmful toxins and carcinogens that come with smoking traditional cigarettes. Dr. Thomas Sussin, assistant scientist in the Department of Environmental Health Sciences at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, leads a team studying the health implications of e-cigarettes. Sussin and his fellow researchers found that vapors from e-cigarettes reduced immune responses in mice and that the vapors contain free radicals previously associated with tobacco products. The results of the study were published this week in the journal Public Library of Science 1, or PLOS 1. Thomas Sussin is with me here in the studio to talk about it. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. Thank you.
E-cigarettes or vaping seems to be growing in popularity with smokers and with teenagers who have never smoked. What are your concerns about the health impact?
The concern among the teenagers is a very large emerging public health threat. The studies show that middle school, high school students have tripled their use of e-cigarettes over the past 2 years. This is a population of individuals who are, in many cases, not cigarette smokers. This is an emerging population of people who are getting addicted to dangerous nicotine.
What's the popular perception of the health or health risks of e-cigarettes?
The popular perception is that they are safer alternative to cigarettes. They do not burn tobacco, and many people feel that in order to produce the harmful chemicals, you have to actually ignite the tobacco. And since there's nothing that's burning in these e-cigarettes, there's a perception that there are no harmful chemicals being produced. But the reality is that they do contain some of those ingredients, albeit at smaller concentrations, but at concentrations that can still do some damaging effects on the lungs.
So in this latest experiment, you put a bunch of mice in a small room, in two rooms. You exposed the mice in one chamber to vapors from e-cigarettes and in the other chamber just to air. What did you find?
First, we wanted to take these studies out of the petri dish, which studies up until now have largely been focused on isolated human cells that are grown in a dish, and then the e-cigarette liquids are poured on top and the toxic effects are analyzed. So we took it out of the petri dish and took it into a mammal to see what the effects were. We exposed mice for 3 hours, an hour and a half in the morning, hour and a half in the afternoon, to concentrations that were comparable to what a human would be exposed to. And after 2 weeks, we looked at first just the effects of e-cigarettes alone on the lungs of the mice, and we did see increases in inflammation and other markers of damage to the lungs that we could assess. But what was most compelling is that we took some groups of those mice and took it a step further and gave them a nasal infection with either a bacteria that is responsible for pneumonia and other sinusitises, or a virus, influenza virus, to see how those mice responded to those microbes.
And how did they respond?
The interesting thing was the mice that were exposed to e-cigarettes became substantially more sick when they were exposed to the virus. We even had increases in death for some of the higher doses of virus that they were exposed to. As far as bacterial exposure, those mice also were unable to clear the bacterial infections from their lungs and as a result became more sick than those mice that were exposed only to room air.
That's Dr. Thomas Sussin, assistant scientist at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, here on Maryland Morning, WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about research he published this week about the health risks of e-cigarettes. Your research also found that e-cigarettes contain free radicals, toxins. How does that compare to real-world traditional cigarettes?
On a puff-by-puff basis, it seems as if there are lower concentrations of those free radicals. But free radicals are highly reactive, and they are very effective at attacking the tissues and will bind to virtually anything that they come in contact with. So the doses that we were detecting, while they were lower than what we see in cigarettes, we were surprised, in fact, by how high those concentrations were. And those concentrations appeared to be high enough to cause some damage that's indicative of the presence of free radicals in the lungs of those mice.
Your research, at least this experiment, focused on mice How much can it tell us about the potential impact of e-cigarettes on people?
Mice are very similar to humans in many respects, and we have modeled effects of cigarette smoke exposure rather effectively in mice as well. We modeled this exposure so that their nicotine concentration would be the same in their blood as it would be in a human who used e-cigarettes. So we felt like, at least from a model standpoint, we tried our best to replicate a realistic exposure, and we feel that these results should extrapolate into humans, but it doesn't always happen that way.
And so what would be the next step of research that you think is needed?
There's certainly more animal studies that need to be done. I measured just one endpoint, just the immune response, and that was after a relatively short-term exposure. We didn't do any chronic exposures. And so the chronic effects, the long-term effects of e-cigarette exposures are a complete black box. Our exposures were just 2 weeks in duration, and what we saw is that just that relatively brief exposure was substantial enough to cause significant defects. So the next step is to see what the chronic effects are. These short-term effects aren't going to tell you anything on cancer, on chronic respiratory diseases, cardiovascular diseases. So much more chronic studies are needed. And once there's some sound science in the animal studies, then we should move into looking at human users as well. One of the issues is that e-cigarettes have not been around long enough to investigate the chronic effects of use.
Well, just with what we know so far and the research that you've done so far, where do you come down on the sort of balancing act that you laid out at the beginning of this conversation? Do e-cigarettes spare a smoker from worse health effects?
That's a hotly debated issue, and I think that's going to continue for quite some time. Just because you reduce the concentrations doesn't necessarily mean that you reduce the toxic effects. Previous attempts using cigarettes have implemented measures to reduce the exposure that one might be exposed to, such as introduction of filters into cigarettes or introduction of low-tar cigarettes. And despite the fact that you can reduce some of those chemicals, the actual health benefits were not observed. So just because the concentrations here are lower, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily safer. At this point, it's kind of a buyer beware, I would say. The real take-home message of this study is that they're not safe. And so it's one issue if you're a smoker looking to quit, but it's a separate issue altogether if you're hoping to switch from cigarettes to e-cigarettes and expecting some benefit to your health. And it's yet another issue if you're a teenager or some non-smoker who is picking these up because of the fact that they come in exotic flavors or it's the new high-tech gadget to try.
I appreciate you talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Thomas Sussin, he's the lead scientist on a new study about the health effects of e-cigarettes, an assistant scientist at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Baltimore City just banned use of e-cigarettes inside most businesses, although the American Cancer Society had lobbied for a complete ban. Statewide, the General Assembly last year rejected a ban on e-cigarettes, but will consider the issue again in its current session. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning is an original production
of your public radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy
and Jonna McCone.
We have production help from
Estelle Klein
and Catherine Sway.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. On the web at ZEKESCoffee.com.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. On this day in Maryland history, 1895, the future baseball great Babe Ruth was born in Baltimore's Pigtown neighborhood, George Herman Ruth Jr. That row house at 216 Emory Street, just west of Oriole Park at Camden Yards, is now a museum, and they're having a birthday bash tonight. We're back on Monday. Hope you'll join us.